So we are continuing the Gospel of John, chapter 11. I'll read the first 16 verses. Let's hear the inspired word of the living God. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us go that we may die with him. And may God add his blessing to the hearing of this portion of his word. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit that inspired these words would apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've been going through this book, you recall that John did not write this as a beginning to end travelogue of Jesus' life. This is one of the last gospel written, and it was with a purpose. It was to point to Jesus' divinity. And the things that are in it were specifically selected. You recall that of all the miracles Jesus did, John picked 7. And of all the I ams, where Jesus said, I am, there are 7 of those. And what the miracle we are looking at today is the 7th and last sign or miracle. And where it falls at chapter 11. You recall I said with this kind of literature, they didn't have bold-facing, punctuation, underlining. They didn't have a way of showing emphasis except by structure. And the structure of the book, or the structure of chapters, if you want to know the important thought, go to the middle. It is right in the middle. And chapter 11, John has 21 chapters. This is in the middle. And this is the last, the 7th sign. And it is also in the miracle. And what is the sign? The resurrection. So that is what John is pointing us to. That is the most important thought in the book. That is what the book is all about. That is what Christianity is all about. If you look at the Apostles' Creed that we say, right in the middle of that, he rose from the dead. That is the most important thing of all that, that the resurrection and what he is showing, going to be showing before he does it for himself, he does it in front of his disciples so that they can see that he has the power. So, let's dig in. When we get to verse 5, this doesn't read the way we think it ought to. It says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place he was at," where he was. That we want that to say something different. We want to say, so when he heard that, he jumped right on it. He ran out there. He took off with them to be with the friends. Or we want the word "so" replaced with "but" or "yet" or "instead of that." Now when Jesus loved Martha, yet when he heard Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer. We think that he should have gotten a move on it, gotten a little faster. Staying isn't something he should have done. But this is precisely what it says. It is not an error. And he did love those three people, and so specifically because he loved them, he stayed for 2 days. Now, what sense do we make of that? Sometimes he's looking at the big picture, and sometimes God does things in people's life that need to percolate. They need to take a little bit longer. And death is one of those. Sometimes God is at work, and in his grand plan, he puts us in circumstances that go way longer than we think they ought to. We feel like we're just suffering and nobody cares, but that is all part of God's plan, because he is looking at the long view. Some things God is working on need time to work. He loved them so that he stayed 2 days because he had something grander in view. If he came too soon, if he did what we think he should have done, if we think he should have showed up and not let Lazarus die, they would have missed the huge blessing. That would have been, whew, that was a close one. Man, I'm glad you got here when you did, because if you would have delayed a little bit, there's nothing you could have done about it. And that is precisely why Jesus worked it out this way. Because there is something he can do about it. He is the one who has the power to raise somebody from the dead. He has the power over death. And this is the vehicle that God is going to use to lay it out for the people he's been walking to. Then the resurrection happens. And we see that when we have a big decision to make, often there are other voices that want to help us make decisions. And there were different voices here. The purpose of this disease is not that Jesus could heal Lazarus, but that Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead. That is the purpose, and that's what Jesus says the purpose is. In verse 4, when Jesus heard it said, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." That is the exact purpose Lazarus is sick. That is the exact reason he is going to die, so that Jesus can raise him. And the 2 days that he's staying because he is listening to the Father. That is the voice he is hearing. The Father has a plan, and Jesus is listening to the plan. And the plan says, "Jesus, you wait right here until I tell you to go." And he does. And John, he has just gotten done telling us in the last chapter. He says, "But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. No closer communion has ever taken place than the conversation Jesus has with his Heavenly Father. He knows what the Father wants him to do, and that's why he is waiting the 2 days. It's always been surprising to me that many Christians contemplating a big decision in life have lots of things to look at. Maybe they're contemplating a job, and it's, well, are there career advancement? How about the salary, fringe benefits? How about the location? Is it close to what I want to be close to? Is it close to family? All of those sorts of things. And if you really want to give them an awestruck look, just ask them the question, what does God want you to do? And usually you'll get a sheepish expression and, I forgot to ask. That is Jesus right now. Everybody else has a lot of advice they're going to give him, but the only advice he needs is from the Father who he is talking to. So he waited the 2 days because that's what the Father wanted him to do. Now there were other voices that were trying to inform his decision. The first voice he was hearing is the people that were coming, hurry up, hurry, come, go. And Jesus is not in a hurry. We see that Lazarus was not the only person Jesus rose from the dead. In fact, he'd already resurrected two people. Jairus' daughter in Mark 5, and a widow in the town of Nain in Luke 7, the accounts are there, he rose them from the dead, but it wasn't as far away from when they had died. It was fairly close in. It was, maybe he resuscitated them, who knows. But here in this account, Lazarus dies, was buried, he began to rot, began to stink. The Jews had an idea in their culture that once you'd gone by 3 days, there was no hope. And what they had to do is reach the point where they had grieved and they had given up, that this was a hopeless situation that would never be addressed before Jesus was ready to come in and do what he did. In the medical profession, if you go in an emergency room, they have a procedure called triaging. And triage is from the French word for three. They discovered this principle on the battlefield in the World Wars, that if you didn't have what you did for them, they were going to live. And so they went in one group, and there was another group that regardless of what you did for them, they were going to die. And you put them in a second group, and the group you really want to focus on are the ones in the middle, that if you, depending on what you do in a certain amount of time, they were either going to live or they were going to die. I tell you that humorously because if you go into the emergency room and you sit for 9 hours, you know you're either surely going to live or you're surely going to die. But Lazarus was in the third group. He was surely going to die. In fact, if it looks like, you know, if we think Jesus should have just left when he got the message, if you just do the math that is in this, when he got there, Lazarus had been 4 days. He stayed 2 days after he got the message. That means if he had left immediately when he got there, Lazarus already would have been dead 2 days. So him leaving immediately or leaving 2 days later made no difference at all. The people it made a difference in were the people who were grieving. Jesus, the objective, if the objective was to save the patient, time is of the essence. He should have gotten there. But if the objective is to raise the dead, you can do that in any time. 4 days, 5 days, 10 days, whatever it is. Once they're dead, they will not get in any deader, and they will be in the same place 10 days later. You can just as easily raise them from the... If you can do it in 4 days, you can do it in 10. It doesn't. So there is no hurry. There is no reason to get there, because his plan always was to raise Lazarus, not to heal him. So the voices that are saying you got to be in a hurry, he already knows, because he talks to the Father. He listens to the Father. The Father has an exact timetable, and that's the one he's on. Well, then there's the second voice. When the Father says, go, then Jesus in verse 7, then after this he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and now you're going there again. Judea was the area that Jerusalem was, that surrounded Jerusalem, and it was also, Bethany was just on the other side of the ravine, up the hill a ways. That's where he was going, and he's telling them, okay, you wanted me to hurry. Now it's time to go. And they're saying, don't go. They're saying, you need to be afraid. You were just over there. They tried to kill you. You've got to be afraid, so you can't go. So now they've shifted from wanting him to go in a hurry to wanting him to not go because they're afraid. These same second voices have happened to other people. If you turn to Acts 21, the Apostle Paul had been beaten, shipwrecked, jailed, and had a lot of bad experiences on all of his missionary journeys. But God had told him to return to Jerusalem. And just before he gets ready to go, here is the account of what he is experiencing as he gets ready to head up to Jerusalem. Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven and stayed with him, had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. People were urging him not to go. God told him to go. People were even quoting the Holy Spirit. People were prophesying. People were coming up with all kinds of reasons to tell him not to do what God had told him to do. But he had to. He went away. And so at the final analysis, and since he would not be persuaded, they ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. And the reason I'm highlighting this is when you have a real big decision that's you and him, one of the first things people do is they think it's a committee report, and they go to all their friends and they get input. Friends can give you input. They can tell you, but they can't make the decision. That's between you and him. You put all the details together. But in this passage alone, I can tell you when you look for advice from friends, it's almost always wrong. When you are making the decision, they can give you details to look at. But when it's you making the decision, it's you and him. And if you're looking for help, you're looking for a majority opinion. Here people were prophesying, quoting the Holy Spirit, giving Paul contrary advice. Here the crowds were telling Jesus, don't go to Judea, you could hurt yourself. And Jesus goes anyway. And his advice to them is, there's 12 hours in every day. When you're walking by the light, God has time for everything that he wants to do. The safest place on the world, on the face of the earth, is in the center of doing something that God wants you to do. If it may be dangerous for everybody else, but it's not dangerous for you. And even if it is something that has a very bad outlook, that doesn't mean that's not the reason to go. If God is leading you, you counted the cost, then it's up to him. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. If we are walking in him and he is leading us, he can lead us wherever he wants to. Danger, no danger, doesn't matter. Just because you know something bad or painful is going to happen, it's not a reason by itself not to do something. And Jesus went, and Paul went, and the rest is history. And then you have the third voice. There are always the third voice. Among the disciples, there's only one of the 12, Thomas, Didymus. They call him Doubting Thomas. I call him Eeyore. Oh, this will never happen. Well, if you really want to go, we might as well all go and die with you. He is the voice of negativism. There is no plan that will be successful to Thomas. He never has rosy glasses. He's always showing you the dark side of why things can't work out. This will never happen. I guess we'll just go and die with you, because everybody's going to die if we do this. Well, Jesus loved all of these people. He loved the people that tried to put him in a hurry. He loved the people that tried to talk him out of doing what he was supposed to do. And he loved Mr. Negative Thomas, Doubting Thomas. But he still did what the Father wanted him to do. He listened to the Father. The rest of the voices, he got some information from them, but he did what the Father wanted. And if you look at this chapter, all of the advice that everybody gave him didn't happen. The people that said you need to hurry, he didn't need to hurry. The people that said don't go, you might get killed, he didn't get killed at this juncture. He had that even scheduled, because this is his purpose. He came to get killed at the right time. And the third one, none of the rest of the people died with him. Jesus alone was crucified when he finally made it there. Afterwards, most of them died martyr's death. But on this particular trip, none of the advice took place. At the end of the day, there is only one thing that matters, and that's what God wants you to do when we ask him, and he will let us know. When we seek him, he will abundantly provide, and he will abundantly lead, and he will lead in different ways that most of the ways he leads are in Scripture. But he is able, and that is the only question you really need to ask. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you lead us. Sometimes we're in too big of a hurry and we want to get out in front of you. Sometimes we don't want to go because we're afraid. And sometimes we just have a bad attitude and we don't think you could do it anyway. So I pray that you would deliver us from all of those, that we would be willing, we would follow, and you would lead. In Jesus' name.